you in the 06010.
Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus. Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feed. And you can download the podcast, Fantasy Focus, wherever you get to your podcast. Good morning. It is Friday, December 17th. We are here to preview week 15 of the NFL season. Field, Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel all here. We'll recap Thursday Night Football. We'll discuss injuries and notable storylines for week 15. And of course, a bunch of COVID updates. This might be the busiest show we have of the season. So we will largely bypass the pleasantries and get right into it. Good morning to Matthew and Stefania.
Good morning, Matt Barkley, placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, according to @FieldYates on the Twitter machine.
That's right, Matt Barkley.
Literally just a couple of minutes ago, like you're literally on air and breaking news.
That was before the show started.
Still, though, 7 minutes before, that's basically when the show starts.
That's, yeah. For Matthew's time.
No comment. I was going to say, comment on that. Yeah. The pre-show meeting starts.
Listen. I've been very clear about this. I've been very open about this. Time management is not a strength of mine. I have some strengths.
What,
I legit
what
have some strengths.
What?
I'm loud.
Yes, that's true.
Opinionated.
Often late.
Hang on. I'm nice. I'm generally nice. I'm generally a nice person. I'm a legit good father. I'm a legit good father.
I'm legit.
Father.
I can't argue with that.
That's pretty much all I got.
See, now you made us all feel soft. Yeah, so let's get right into football.
And we're going to strategy my kids. Right there.
I legit love all my kids.
They love you.
Well,
you are a great dad.
Way to go. Way to go for loving your own kids.
I'm not faking it.
Good job.
Good job. Legit. Absolutely. Would do anything for him.
I know you would. Let's get into the football. We have a lot to get to today, and we're going to try to do our best to mix in as much non-COVID stuff as we can with the COVID updates. But unfortunately, we are in a time when COVID updates are pretty much the regularity. Stefania, yesterday the NFL updated its COVID protocols. What can you tell us about what that entails? And then we'll get into what it might mean for your fantasy lineup.
Yeah, the NFL and the NFLPA worked together to come up with some modifications to their original protocols. And these modifications are going to be in place throughout week 15. I mean, really, that's how far ahead we're looking at this point, is just throughout week 15. And they are leaving open the possibility that the protocols could continue to be modified after that. So basically, what's happening is all clubs are going into the intensive protocol plan. These are the preventative measures that they say have been proven effective when they were implemented back in 2020. And we see teams, when they have an outbreak, go into these now. It's basically masking for everyone, regardless of vaccination status, conducting meetings either remotely or outdoors or in a bubble with proper spacing, eliminating in-person meals, and no outside visitors while on team travel. So they're just basically narrowing the scope of exposure. And the other thing they're trying to do is to encourage booster shots for everyone. So those are basically the changes in terms of the environment. But then there are some changes relating to testing out of quarantine for fully vaccinated players. And this is where it will impact rosters potentially for this weekend's games. And as it impacts rosters, therefore for fantasy managers, it would be impactful to you as well. Basically, and I'm just going to read here from something that we have put on the website that we'll give you a link for later. But following a confirmed positive test for a fully vaccinated player or a tier one, tier two, or tier three staff member, they will then be tested daily thereafter and can be released from quarantine, provided they're asymptomatic for 24 hours and meet the established criteria for COVID test results. They have set a few different criteria. We won't go into the detail, but there is a scenario where it can either be negative testing or positive testing if there is a low viral load. That's a measure that they feel is reflects the ability to transmit the disease. So the new criteria would allow for the possibility of a player to return the day following a positive test.
And to me, that's the headline right there, Stefania. That's the headline in terms of, not to be dismissive of any of it, because it's all super important, but I think for the purposes of our fantasy managers out there wondering, hey, I just lost Tyler Lockett. Hey, I just lost Odell Beckham Jr., et cetera, et cetera. Am I completely? And the answer is no. there is a chance they could play as early as this week. So why don't you go further into here, Stefania?
So, yes, the criteria allows for the possibility. Again, it's a possibility because they still have to meet the criteria. It also should be noted that the activation deadline for players prior to a game remains unchanged. So we reviewed this the other day. In the case of Sunday games, players have to be elevated to the active or placed on the active roster by 4 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. For games that are Monday, Thursday, and Saturday, it's 4 p.m. of the same day. So again, Sunday is where the bulk of the games lie. Players have to be activated by 4 p.m. Saturday. That has not changed. What the league and the NFLPA have suggested is that if a team anticipates a player possibly being cleared, they could activate them on Saturday with them still awaiting clearance. The caveat is if that player does not test out, then they will have to be deactivated on Sunday and they cannot be replaced.
So, all right. So I just want to underline that, Stefania. A lot of great information right there. Thank you so much. I just want to underline that for everyone listening here. There is a chance. This is why you've got to, it's super important that you pay attention, super important that you follow Field and Stefania and myself, Adam Schefter, everyone on Twitter, and most importantly, Fantasy Football Now this Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2, because you may see this Saturday at 4 o'clock people activated off the COVID-19 list. That does not mean they've actually cleared the COVID-19 list. It means the teams are hopeful that they will be cleared in time for the game. But you might see, I'm just using Tyler Lockett as an example, but like pretend you see Tyler Lockett activated off the COVID-19 list Saturday at 4 o'clock. That does not automatically guarantee Tyler Lockett will be active for the Seahawks game against the Rams. It just means they're hopeful. So again, I just think it's super important, and we're going to get into strategy here in a second, but I think that's a super important point to sort of underline and focus on, Field, that you may see some headlines or tweets like this guy's been activated and you're like, oh, whoo, I have this player in my lineup. Not so fast. Just it's great. And it's one step closer to playing this weekend, but it's not necessary that they will absolutely play. Yeah. Not 100%.
So there's a lot to get into from a strategy standpoint. So let's just go through like a couple of key points that you would suggest if you are the commissioner of a league. Here are some of the things that I would consider doing for my league. And there are a few that come to mind. Is there anything that you want to start with?
No, you go for, I will say with this caveat and then you go and then I'll add in. This is a game we play for fun, people.
Thank you. Yeah.
We play this for fun. It is a hobby. It is something we do with our friends, with our colleagues, with our family. Okay, and I get it. And there are some high stakes leagues and there's some money involved and whatever. But at the end of the day, we are playing this for fun. And so I would beg the commissioner of any league, you know, to be reasonable. We are in uncharted territory here. We are in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. And this is ultimately on the very low end of priorities of everything that's going on in the world.
Right.
But to the extent that we're talking about fantasy football during a worldwide pandemic, be reasonable, be a human being, be the most, just in general, when you're a commissioner, you're going to have to make a bunch of calls, err in favor of common sense and err in favor of this is a game that's fun. Don't penalize somebody, you know, like don't penalize somebody because we're in a world that's weird and unfamiliar.
So a few thoughts here, and just keep in mind, like, it all depends on what platform you play on, the league settings you have. If you have the ability, as an example, to create additional IR spots, that might be a useful thing to do right now, because if you have additional IR spots, even if you have 5 players that will not be activated from the COVID-19 list, you have the ability to add some players to your bench. It could be their direct fill-ins on their team or just fill-ins elsewhere around the league. So additional IR spots, something to keep in mind. If you play in a league that has defined waiver windows, consider modifying those defined waiver windows. Like, there are leagues, especially those that have a salary cap, where if waivers run, some cases it's overnight, Saturday into Sunday, and if you don't pick up a player during that waiver period, the next opportunity you get to add a player is not until waivers run again on Tuesday night. I think the smart play here is to let waivers run again all the way until, like, let's call it noon before the 1 p.m. games on Sunday, which doesn't eliminate all the possibilities, but at least it gives you a much better chance to have the players in place that you're going to need if something comes up Sunday morning.
I'd even say like 12:30, but
yeah, you know, whatever, like, whatever right time it is, right. Something that's much later than like 3 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Right.
Additionally here, we talked about this last year, like maybe you allow each team each week to designate a player in which they have an option on their bench that like, I'm just whatever, making this up. On my bench this week, I've got, you know, Chase Edmonds at running back. I'm not starting him because I expect my other two superior options to play. But if something were to happen to one of my running backs, a COVID-related matter, I am designating Chase Edmonds as, if something happens to one of my top two players, I get whatever points Chase Edmonds scores, even from my bench.
Just to give an example of that. So War Room League playoffs. So I'm in the War Room League playoffs. I'm playing Teddy Bruschi, who's got a great team. My quarterback in that league, it's a 16-team league, is Kirk Cousins. He plays the Monday night game. And so my only other backup in that league is Jimmy Garoppolo. I am starting Kirk Cousins. I have Kirk Cousins ranked higher. I think he'll have a better game against Chicago on Monday night. However, like, so Garoppolo will have played. And then what happens on Monday if all of a sudden Kirk Cousins is ruled out due to COVID? So I'm hopeful that, you know, our commissioner in that league, I would be able to say, hey, if Kirk Cousins is out, you know, and we did this last year, by the way, in that league. So I assume we're going to do it again this year. But the example there would be is I would designate Garoppolo saying, I'm starting Kirk Cousins. But if Kirk Cousins is ruled out on Monday afternoon due to COVID after Garoppolo's already played and I'm not able to replace Cousins, I get Garoppolo's points.
Right.
Again, it's just being reasonable, being a human being, being understanding that if you knew on Sunday morning that Kirk Cousins wasn't going to play on Monday night, you would have started Garoppolo. Just as an example, I think something else, Field, to move on and to think about this is, again, hopefully your commissioner and your league is getting together and figuring all this stuff out. But you also need to be proactive and take things into your own hands. And to that, I mean, there's two things that I would do very quickly. Is number one is I would want as much roster flexibility as possible. So I'll give you an example. Same thing in this War Room League team. My kicker in that league is also Greg Joseph. Now I manage, it's a weird thing, but I managed to get Nick Folk today, this morning on waiver. Somebody else had a roster crunch, waived Nick Folk. I'm going to start Nick Folk on Saturday, and I'm going to do it for two reasons. Like, both guys are great kickers, right? But I know Nick Folk is going to play on Saturday. And if I don't, if for some reason he gets ruled out, I'll know in time to make an adjustment. I don't want to be stuck on Sunday with Greg, you know, on Monday night and not have Greg Joseph. However, what's great is that I will have that roster spot, that Greg Joseph roster spot. So if Sunday night, if Monday afternoon somebody gets ruled out, I can then waive Greg Joseph. And now I have an open roster spot to do some flexibility. And hopefully I've got a flex spot open if my players haven't played. If that makes any sense. The idea is, like, this is something I said on social media yesterday, going into the Thursday night game, like in one league in the playoffs, I had Jalen Guyton on that roster and I wasn't starting him last night. So I made sure to waive him before the game last night because I didn't want that roster spot on my bench locked, because I want to have as many roster spots open or as much flexibility as we go through this weekend. So again, we have two games on Saturday. We have two games tomorrow. If you have a player that's playing on Saturday and you're not planning on using them, think about waiving them. Again, it all depends on sort of depth and roster depth and what your league is and if you're in a two-week playoff or not. But the idea is that you want as much roster flexibility as possible. And the other thing I will say is, again, just to that point, play the player that is playing early. Like, if you're sitting there going, like, I have Ramondre Stevenson or Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think we project them both for around 10 points. Maybe we have Ramondre at 9 or something like that, 8-8. But they're both basically flex plays, right? Amon and PPR. I would play Stevenson.
Bird in hand, right?
Right? No. Because again, like, what you don't want to do is have Stevenson play and then St. Brown gets ruled out the next day. I'm just picking two examples. But in general, pick, if you're on the fence, if it's more or less a coin flip between two players at a position, play the guy that's playing earlier, because sort of bird in hand, you know that that player is playing. It is uncharted territory. I believe we're now at close to 100 players on the COVID-19 list.
Probably north of that.
Is it north of that? Is it
100 mean, like, just this week? 110 this week.
Sorry, that's what I meant. I mean, like, just 110 this week and more coming. More, like, as soon as we're done with this podcast, like, today's going to be a long day. you know, and it's an unfortunate thing, and I don't mean to make light of it, and we want everyone to stay safe and healthy, but this is a Fantasy Focus podcast, so we're merely talking about the Fantasy Focus, the fantasy football impact of a worldwide pandemic.
So with all that strategy, let's jump into this week's Fantasy Football. Yeah,
let's do it. So let's start with our Thursday Night Football recap, which is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Perhaps the best Thursday Night Football game of the year. Two high stakes, high flying offensive teams, and it delivered. 34-28 was the final score. Kansas City wins on the opening drive of overtime, a game that felt like the Chargers had it basically from like the first drive on, right? 75-yard kickoff return, 0 points there. They waited to the five-yard line five times last night. They failed to score any points on three of those opportunities. There's an interesting, thoughtful conversation about the fourth down strategy last night. I'll be on NFL Live later on today, hosting if you guys want to hear more about that. But let's get into the fantasy
side. I'll be interested to see what everyone other than Mina says.
I'll be very
because I know exactly Mina's point of view. Right?
Yeah.
Of course,
we'll have a good sort of Mina. Thoughtful analytics versus sort of gut call conversation. But actually,
I'll just say one quick line on that. Ultimately, shouldn't come down to it. Mike Williams make a catch. Jared Cook make a catch. Like players didn't execute. If you are Brandon Staley, you are trusting really good players to execute on plays, and they didn't. So I know a lot of people are criticizing Staley and the fourth down and. Yes, tune into NFL Live and you'll hear a really smart, thoughtful discussion on all of that. I'll just say in general, man, oh man, Brandon Staley can coach. If I was a Chargers fan, I would not be upset at Brandon Staley this morning. I'll just say that.
Listen, they're 8-6. They're still in the playoff mix. It just stings when you could have really grabbed the AFC West by the horns
last
night.
Jared Cook.
That's right now. There are a lot of people frustrated by that. So just we have so much to get to today.
Right,
We're not ignoring this, but Patrick Mahomes, super duper star night last night. Even with a couple like... He left points on the field.
Oh, my God.
That interception, fumble near the end of the first half. He misses Mecole Hardman on a wide open fourth and goal play. He threw it 5 yards short. Very bizarre. That being said.
Had Travis Kelce on a second down, that would have been a touchdown, like right in the middle and did not hit. Kelce was fine. But you know what I'm saying? Like actually, like easily could have had Travis Kelce. There was another play, right? You're talking about the Mecole Hardman play to the side, but there was also one where Mecole Hardman ran a slant route into the middle, and they try to fade. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was Kelce. I think that one might have been a little more. I actually was okay with that one.
I know the safety was reading his eyes, and like it wasn't as open as it looked at. But whatever, we agree. Mahomes left points on the board, and yet still had a monster game.
So Mahomes 29.6, Tyreek Hill 32.8, Travis Kelce 41.1, career high 191 receiving yards for Travis Kelce. Looked like the player that last year was the best player in fantasy football. If you measure consistency plus performance, they were all remarkable. All that stuff is good.
And the crazy part is. Kelce also left points of the board.
He had
the 1 yard line, I think twice.
At least once for sure on that 69 yard catch. Yes. The longest, I believe, of his season, maybe even his career.
There was another one where he got down like on the 3 or something like that on one of their scoring drives.
Bottom line is you're happy with 41.1.
You're thrilled.
Justin Herbert, 23 fantasy points. He left some points on the board as well because of some of the catches and the drops from his teammates. Austin Eckler gets you 18.2 fantasy points. Didn't play like as many snaps as you normally see him, but played enough, found the end zone as well. Keenan Allen had 19.8 fantasy points with a touchdown on 10 targets. Mike Williams, 7.9. It should have been a whole bunch more.
Yeah.
But just so I'm looping both these teams in together, we'll talk more about the Chiefs' offensive skill players. Wasn't a great night from Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Darrell Williams. 9 fantasy points from Helaire. He gets that 2-point conversion. More on the Chiefs' backfield next week when we have more time to talk about it. But I do want to get one last thing. It was scary, Stefania, and it's important, and we're keeping him in our prayers right now. Donald Parham Jr. for the Chargers left the game early on just a very frightening play.
Yeah, he did. He went down in the end zone, was tended to by medical staff for quite some time, and then put on a spine board and stretchered off. The Chargers update later was that Donald Parham Jr. was undergoing tests, imaging, and evaluation for a head injury at UCLA Harbor. And they listed him as being in stable condition. That is all of the official update that we have at this point.
Hopefully, I certainly send the best to Parham. It was just a scary, scary play. It was bone chilling for everybody who watched it. The players around it, you could tell it had an impact on the game right after it. It was really a scary sight, and hope the best for him and hopefully a full recovery and sooner rather than later as well.
You guys make fun of me for my, you know, obscure tight ends, but Parham's been one of those guys that I've loved for a long time, and you don't want to see it to any player, but certainly when it's a player that you have a real affinity for, it hits even harder. And very scary moment, and, you know, happy and cautiously optimistic when you hear, you know, in stable condition, and he's getting the medical attention he can get, and with no disrespect meant to anywhere else. Like the fact that he's at UCLA, which is a great medical facility, mm-hmm. like is great. You know, some NFL teams play in areas where the medical care may not be as cutting edge as UCLA is one of the best in the country. So great that he's getting that attention from, I'm sure, you know, the top doctors they have there. And so anyway, thoughts and prayers, legit, you know, like
literally yep.
It's, you know, we sit here and we complain, make that catch, do this, do that, that kind of stuff. And yet, listen, we're all still sitting on our couches, and these guys are legitimately putting their lives on the line every single play.
I hope the best for Donald Parham. If we get updates, perhaps by Sunday morning's Fantasy Football Now, we'll provide them there. And if not, we'll hopefully get something to you next week when we're back here on the show. We're going to continue to the injuries and, of course, the COVID updates as well. We're trying to make sure we intersperse the football information here. But Stefania, the Rams are certainly near the top of the list in terms of teams dealing with the most COVID issues right now. At last check, 25 players on the list.
Yeah, and for purposes of the skill players who we tend to talk about most on this show, Odell Beckham Jr. was most recent addition, added on December 14th. You guys can do the math on dates. Darrell Henderson obviously was on the COVID list and missed the Monday night game. He was also dealing with a thigh injury, so there's sort of a two-pronged issue there. And Tyler Higbee, who did miss Monday night's game, was removed from the COVID-19 list. It ended up being a false positive for him.
As we know, so 3 days, Tavian said, December 14th, that was 3 days ago. So we'll see whether Henderson or OBJ is activated back to the roster by Sunday. You would think, and I'm not saying this with certainty, but because Darrell Henderson was placed on the list a longer time ago, his chances of being available on Sunday are greater, but we do not know for right now. Let's operate in a world where OBJ is not available, Matthew. Van Jefferson makes your love list. He has been really good for them this year when he's gotten opportunities. And on Sunday, with no OBJ and no Robert Woods, it should be a busy day for Van Jefferson.
He scored a touchdown in three straight games since Robert Woods went out with that injury, 14.4 fantasy points per game. He's gotten at least one end zone target in seven straight. I'm as a top 20 fantasy wide receiver this week. I think Matthew Stafford has a monster game. I was excited by what I saw out of the Rams offense the last time they played against Arizona. It was a really nice game. It felt like, oh yeah, that's the Rams offense. That's the Rams offense we saw in the beginning of the year. Feels like they are back on track and doing Sean McVay-like things. So I have Stafford as a top five play this week, and certainly with a narrow target tree for Matthew Stafford, Van Jefferson, look, my little Cooper Kupp's going to be awesome. We all know that. But Van Jefferson should be a beneficiary as well in a pretty good matchup with Seattle.
If Darrell Henderson is activated in practices today, my tenor will change a little bit. But let's say he's activated tomorrow and is in line to play on Sunday. It will have basically been three full weeks since he practiced, because he obviously, as Stefania alluded to, is also dealing with an injury on top of being on the COVID-19 list. I'd be a little skittish in thinking that he's going to have his normal workload, which means that I may still start Darrell Henderson if he is activated. But I think there's a chance that rather than it being like a 75-25 split between he and Sony Michel, it could be as close as 55-45.
I think that's right. I think that's fair. So, but in terms of an actionable item for fantasy managers, I'm still starting Darrell Henderson.
If he plays.
I don't know how you can. Especially we are in uncharted territory here with COVID and the effects of COVID. And we've seen some players come back and be like, oh yeah, they look great. Looks like nothing effective. And we've seen some players come back after missing time due to COVID and be like, that ain't looking like the guy we used to see. Like sure, it affects every person differently. We have no idea how it's going to affect Darrell Henderson. Here's what we do know. He's a really good running back who's been insanely productive when he's been on the field for the Rams. The Rams like to run the ball. It's a good matchup. You're in the playoffs. If you're in the playoffs, you're likely there in part due to Darrell Henderson. It'd be tough for me to bench Darrell Henderson if he's active for the Rams and we get reporting that he's expected to have at least at least half of the Rams' running back touches.
Let's move forward to the Cleveland Browns. And Stefania, they're in that same conversation with the Rams and the Washington football team in terms of volume of players on the COVID-19 list. At last check, I believe, is up to 24 right now. That includes several offensive players.
Yeah, I've almost stopped tallying the total because of the way that the changes are fluctuating. There's a lot going on in Cleveland. I think it's really important for fantasy purposes as well because they play on Saturday. So knowing that they are an earlier game, they have quarterback Baker Mayfield, who tested positive on the 15th, and then Case Keenum tested positive on the 16th, which is yesterday. So they are currently in line to have Nick Mullins start for them. Nick Mullins, who used to be with my San Francisco 49ers, and Nick Mullins, who actually underwent a surgical procedure that has never been done in an NFL quarterback. He had an ulnar collateral ligament tear in his elbow. Usually that's repaired, reconstructed by Tommy John. He had an ulnar collateral ligament repair, which is a quicker recovery. I talked with him actually during the course of his recovery. He was doing quite well. You may remember that he initially was signed with the Eagles and then moved over to Cleveland, but he has not started, obviously, an NFL game this year. So he has not started since before that injury. But keep that in mind. That's who's in line to start as of right now. Also, tight end Austin Hooper and wide receiver Jarvis Landry were placed on the COVID-19 list on the 14th, so 3 days ago.
And we know Kareem Hunt won't be available for them because of that injury suffered
last week. Right, he's already been ruled out.
Yep. So, Matthew, this, I think, comes down to something that we've talked about with other teams in recent weeks, and I think maybe even the Browns in a previous conversation. It's the playoffs, fantasy playoffs. Yeah. There's one player on the Browns offense that you're starting for fantasy, and that's Nick Chubb. Otherwise, right, if you're starting that player, you're doing so because you're super desperate or you're going to get lucky if that player pays off, right? Like, could Donovan Peoples-Jones have 80 yards and a touchdown? He could. Someone's got to catch passes, right? Yeah. And it's the Raiders. It's not like this is a team that scares me.
Yeah, and it's a team that you can throw deep on, and they will want to throw deep somewhat. I mean, you know, the Stefanski's offense runs on play action. Nick Mullins is fine, you know, as a quarterback. We have seen Nick Mullins have success in the NFL. He's not like some guy where you're just like, really? And the other thing is Nick Mullins has been in the Cleveland organization since the beginning of the year. He was on the practice squad, I think, starting in September. So at least there's some familiarity with the playbook. It's not like a guy that was just, as we'll talk about here in a minute, it's not like a guy that literally just showed up this week. So, I mean, there's positives there to that extent that Nick Mullins is a professional NFL quarterback who's had success in the league. Peoples-Jones, I think, is the best option of the wide receivers. Could David Njoku, for those that are desperate at tight end, could David Njoku get a red zone look or two, maybe come down with a touchdown? Certainly, I have him as a mid-tier tight end too as well. Again, somebody's going to have to catch passes, and with no Austin Hooper, if Austin Hooper does not play in this game, Njoku would be a viable mid-tier tight end too. But I agree with you, Field. Nick Chubb is the only guy you feel good about starting in this one. The other ones are sort of close your eyes and hope.
And also, Kevin Stefanski, their coach, is on the reserve COVID-19 list. Just want to reiterate that all the things that we talked about for fully vaccinated players in terms of the modifications are also in effect for the coaches and staff. And all of the coaches and staff were mandated to be vaccinated, so we know that they all fall under that rule.
Stefania, might as well just sort of keep it rolling here with the teams that are really in the throes of COVID situations right now. The Washington football team, who the news just keeps getting worse and worse by the day. That includes a major quarterback conundrum right now.
Yeah, you switched on me. I thought we were going Miami next.
I know. I just figured we'd go.
Well, it's all right. I just got to turn.
Teams that have 8 billion people.
I just
got to
turn the pages because there are quite a few. So both Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen are now on the reserve COVID-19 list. And Field, you broke the news about somebody signing today to be the quarterback for them.
Garrett Gilbert. They've signed him off the Patriots practice squad. There's been others that have speculated different names. I expect Garrett Gilbert to start on Sunday for the Washington football team. We'll see. There are other options as well. Kyle Shermer, who they have had on their practice squad, as well as Jordan Tamu, who they signed earlier this week, former XFL standout. But I suspect there's at least a chance, if not a good chance, that Garrett Gilbert starts on Sunday.
So Garrett Gilbert is former AAF superstar. Garrett Gilbert played for the Orlando Apollos with Steve Spurrier. Garrett Gilbert is also, like, again, was a backup in Cleveland for a while, signed up the Cowboys practice squad.
Carolina, he's Oakland, right. When they still played there.
Right, exactly. And so you mentioned Carolina, so that, you know, that's a familiarity, I think, somewhat.
He's got two pieces of it. played for Jack Del Rio when he was the head coach in, with the Raiders back in Oakland.
Yep.
And Scott Turner, who, of course, is now the offensive coordinator for Washington.
Which, and was the quarterback's coach in Carolina under Norv Turner, his father. And then when Norv left, Scott took over as the coordinator in Carolina. I think Scott's done a great job with Washington's offense, given the pieces he's had to work with. I'm a huge Scott Turner fan. Like, so that makes sense to me that they feel like that Gilbert has at least some familiarity and can run some version of their offense. I mean, this game went from a pretty close one. I think it was like a -4 to -7. It's now like, I think, -10. The Eagles are now favored by 10 points. I mean, it's just awful. I don't mean to make light of COVID-19, and we want everyone to stay safe. I will say that I know John Keim, who does a great job covering the team for us here at ESPN, has tweeted out the fact that the majority, and he didn't put out a number, but the majority of the players on Washington are both vaccinated and asymptomatic. So there's hope that at least some of them under the new rules can at least be cleared and come back on Sunday. But you just heard that from Field Yates. Right now, the expectation is, and long way to go before Sunday at 1 o'clock, but the expectation is that Garrett Gilbert might be under center for the Washington football team. And if that's the case, you sort of go back to what we just said about Cleveland. Antonio Gibson, I feel like, is the only Washington football team player you feel confident enough in starting. But, and that includes Terry McLaurin if he's...
But aren't both of them dealing with injuries right now, Stefania? Isn't Antonio Gibson banged up as well? Am I misreading something?
Well, Antonio Gibson had, it did appear that he had aggravated the ankle lower extremity injury. We have J.D. McKissic and Terry McLaurin both dealing with concussion-related issues.
Gotcha. Okay, I thought I had read on our newser that there was some concern about Antonio Gibson as well, but obviously
he did. I'm just double checking because I could be wrong here.
But you think? But you think McLaurin and McKissic do play on Sunday, or are you still uncertain about whether they give it a go?
Obviously, McKissic hasn't done anything in practice, so we haven't even seen a glimpse of him yet. Terry McLaurin was listed as limited for Thursday, but remember, there's also the clearance that they have to get from the INC.
Okay,
and I'll just mention this. I'm going to jump ahead real quickly, just as long as we're talking about Terry McLaurin, which is that Terry McLaurin. And you guys know this pains me to do this because Terry McLaurin, one of my favorite players in the NFL, Terry McScorin, his actual legal name, if I had anything to say about it, made the hate list this week. So we have questions at quarterback, obviously. He has struggled production-wise, right? Last time he was a top 40 wide receiver was week 11. We expect Darius Slay to shadow him as well. Two games last year against Philadelphia, McLaurin, who had a great year last year, but in the two games against the Eagles last year, just 101 yards in two games on 15 targets. So he has not had recent success against Philadelphia, honestly. And that means a lot of wide receivers, by the way, have not had recent success against the Eagles since week 7. Only twice has a wide receiver scored more than 13.5 fantasy points against Philadelphia. Now, could you live with 11, 10, 12 points, even 13? Sure, from a fantasy wide receiver, that'd be 13.5 more than we got out of McLaurin last week. But given the quarterback issues, given the defense, given the Slay, the fact that he hasn't really practiced in a while due to the all week due to the concussion, Terry McLaurin is a risky play this week. I think he's a risk reward wide receiver 3. If he is activated in time for the game.
Let me correct myself. Antonio Gibson is all good. There was no injury.
He did come in and out, I think, briefly the last game. And so there was a question about that. I was going back and looking at my notes, too. But he was not on the injury report or anything.
Okay, so my apologies for the false alarm here.
The volume that Antonio Gibson will get in this game, I understand the Eagles have a pretty good run defense, and certainly Gibson was not good against the Cowboys last week, but I just think the total volume will mask any inefficiency that Gibson has. And you could certainly see Garrett Gilbert wanting to, you know, dump it off to Antonio Gibson if he is in fact the starting quarterback for the WFT. So yeah, Gibson's the only guy you feel confident about starting. Ricky Seals-Jones, who I'd liked as sort of a streamer, suddenly becomes a lot more dicey now without Taylor Heinicke under center.
Let's keep things moving, Stefania, and hopefully we're back on the right order here. The Dolphins have had all sorts of COVID issues themselves, specifically among skilled players on offense. They got a bit of good news, though, this morning.
Yeah, they did. So two of their running backs who had been placed on the COVID-19 list going back a week ago, because Myles Gaskin went on the list on December 10th, and he is now off the list as of today. Savon Ahmed went on the list the day after on December 11th. He, too, is off the list. They are both back at practice today and on track to play this weekend. Philip Lindsay went on the list on December 13th, and Jaylen Waddle just went on the list yesterday.
So you should probably plan for not having Jaylen Waddle this weekend. And I know things could change. I'm just using prior cases to suggest there's probably a low probability of Jaylen Waddle being available this weekend. Myles Gaskin probably cracked a top 20 for everybody in their rankings after we adjust those, because he was previously out of our rankings due to his positive COVID-19 test. And I think we all agree, like, Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki should be very busy this weekend. There are very few options to throw to that are better than them in the Miami offense. I've got Gesicki in my top 10 for tight ends, and I've got Devontae Parker inside my top 30 for wide receivers.
Mike, I have a question, too. I mean, Duke Johnson, they've already said that Duke Johnson is going to play.
But
they were talking about him, like, excited to play in his first game in a Miami uniform. So I expect that he sees some action. And we just don't know, again, these players who come off the list after being out for a week, we don't know what their symptoms level was or how impacted they were. I'm just kind of curious how you guys anticipate the running back situation working out.
I really think there's only one you can play, and it's Gaskin, acknowledging that if you play Gaskin, it's a risk for all the factors that Stefania just alluded to. Like, Gaskin may play, and he may play 30% of his normal snaps, 50%, 70%. Oh. He's a guy that's kind of relied, as far as fantasy is concerned, on volume. It hasn't been efficiency.
That's 1,000% correct here. And the other thing, that of all the running backs you guys just mentioned, one guy you didn't mention is Malcolm Brown, who was activated off has returned to practice, I should say. He's not officially been activated off the IR yet, but he did return to practice all week as well. And so Malcolm Brown, they like in the goal line. We'll see if he gets activated off the IR by Saturday at 4:30, and maybe he might be active for this game. So you're looking at a committee. I agree with Field. If I'm starting a Dolphins running back this week, assuming that he is active for the game, it's Myles Gaskin. Are there concerns about what the illness, what the effects of COVID would be? He's missed a decent amount of time here. Sure. Are there concerns about workload because they're gonna have a lot of guys? Sure. But here's what there isn't a concern about: the New York Jets. They're playing the New York Jets. Pretty much every running back that faces the New York Jets has a monster game. I think that if Myles Gaskin is active and you have normally used him when he has been active this year, you're starting Myles Gaskin. But that would be the only Dolphins running back that I would trust in this game. If other guys are inactive, if Gaskin's inactive, then you could look at some other options if you're desperate. But if they're all active, you're starting Gaskin, and that's the only one.
So finally, the Seahawks are possibly not going to have Tyler Lockett, as we discussed earlier. He's on the COVID-19 list. But DK Metcalf, though, he's been dealing with something as well this week.
Yeah, DK Metcalf, well, we've seen him on the injury report for multiple weeks because of his foot, but he's managed to play through it, and that hasn't appeared to have limited him. But he was added, he had back injury added next to his name. So in addition to the foot, a back issue. He was not in practice either Wednesday or Thursday. Wide receiver Penny Hart, the only wide receiver on the 53-man roster who was practicing on Thursday.
That is something else, and that's just a testament to where we are at right now, week 15 of the NFL season. Matthew, here's the good news for me as it pertains to my DK Metcalf decision-making process, is even if he does play, the only leagues in which I have DK Metcalf, I'm playing in the consolation, so it really doesn't matter because it's been that kind of year.
Also, guys, the Alex Collins, the running back who was already dealing with an abdominal injury, he too was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list yesterday. We know Rashad Penny is going to be the starter, but just pointing out, Travis Homer, who had been dealing with a hamstring injury, was up to a full participant. He'd probably be the number two.
So Penny should be a busy guy on Sunday. Probably only fortifies his standing as the top running back in Seattle. Just quickly, Matthew, if you have DK Metcalf and he does play on Sunday, are you playing him? Because he's been wide receiver 50 or worse in five straight weeks.
I am. And I'm assuming two things. I'm assuming in this scenario that DK Metcalf is active and Tyler Lockett is not.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about Tyler Lockett, since week 8, Tyler Lockett's had a 26% target share. Just a massive target share. We all agree Russell Wilson looks like he's back to being Russell Wilson. And so like, it's not a great matchup against the Rams, but again, you know that I like Matthew Stafford. I think the Rams offense has a big day here. I think Russell Wilson will have to throw to keep up. I think it's going to be hard for Rashad Penny and that running game to get going against the Rams. So DK Metcalf, again, on more volume than efficiency, it would be hard for me to keep him out of my lineup. I am as a top 20 play this week, assuming he's active and assuming Lockett is not. I actually put Metcalf inside my top 15. So yeah, I would stop. I would start DK Metcalf. Worth noting, past six games, he does have 7 end zone targets. So at least they're trying to get him the ball when they get in close. And so, by the way, if you are looking for a tight end streamer, you're sitting there being desperate, Gerald Everett suddenly becomes sort of interesting this week as well.
I absolutely love it. You and tight ends, a match made in heaven.
You know what? I'll tell you, people out there, they're like, yeah. There's 8 billion wide receivers, but you know, like, help a brother out with a tight end because it's such a desolate, you know, such a desolate wasteland at that position. So yeah. You know what? I'm out here doing the Lord's work. That's what I'm doing.
Wow.
You heard me.
You and the Lord.
Yeah.
Two birds of the same
feather.
People
that need fantasy help at tight end.
Daniel?
It is time to go for two, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, with a pair of players from the same game.
Let's discuss the running backs from Arizona, who, of course, they played Daniel's Lions on Sunday. Stefania, before we can discuss them, we need a health report on both Chase Edmonds and James Conner, because two guys who are dealing with injuries just at different stages of the recovery process.
Yeah, remember, James Conner was very late in the game, really in the final play, and reportedly limping off the field. And then we heard, well, maybe it's not that serious, but then he hasn't been in practice since that game. Now, of course, it's a shorter week because they played on Monday night. So Friday could be a big day in terms of reporting out for him. But James Conner has not practiced yet. Chase Edmonds, we thought there was a chance he'd be activated for the Monday night game because he'd returned to practice late last week after being designated for return from IR. He was not activated, which is pretty consistent with how the Cardinals have done things. But the expectation is that he will be available this week.
I think it's pretty clear that if just one of them plays, they're virtually a roster lock, especially if it's just Conner, because Conner's been unbelievable. However, We expect Chase Edmonds to return as well this week. So let's dive into that scenario, Matthew. If both of them are playing, can you play both of them in your lineup, or can you play, is either one of them carry legit fantasy value if both are on the field?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because they play Detroit. I'm going to turn to our special Detroit Lions correspondent, Daniel Dopp, here to discuss the Detroit Lions defense. Can you break down the Detroit Lions defense for me? And by breakdown, do I mean, like, if we gave you the ball, do you think you could get 8 yards before someone tackled you?
Yes.
There you go.
Behind what offensive line?
Behind Penei Sewell, right?
Yeah, you know, behind, like, Penei Sewell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he's awesome.
Anyway, even though Sewell plays for the Lions as well. But look, I just think it's such a good offense. No DeAndre Hopkins in this game as well, so they're looking for additional people to touch the ball. They're going to get Chase Edmonds in. If both guys are active, I'll tell you right now, I have James Conner at number 11. I have Chase Edmonds at 27. Mm-hmm. So I have Chase Edmonds as a lower-end flex. We haven't seen him yet. He doesn't have the touchdown equity that James Conner has. James Conner's been red hot. But so do I think he's a viable flex? I think he's like, you could do worse flex. But obviously, Edmonds been out for a while, and if you're in the playoffs, you've managed to make do without Edmonds. So it sort of depends on what other options you have. I'm at running back 27. Again, a lower-end flex. James Conner is active. I'm starting him. It is Detroit. You're playing this. We expect the Cardinals to score and score at will against the Detroit Lions. Daniel, did I say anything that you disagree with?
No, I wish that you had, but you didn't. I am sorry. The Detroit Lions are not good. You should start both of these running backs, but I do think that James Conner, like, you know, if he's healthy, he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be the guy.
He's been the second best running back in fantasy since week 9, which is when Chase Edmonds, of course, went down.
Pick every NFL matchup for a shot at prizes with Pigskin Pick'em, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/PigskinPick'em or the ESPN Fantasy app. Stefania, I want to ask you really quickly about a couple of 49ers here before we jump ahead. Eli Mitchell and George Kittle. Can we get updates on both of those? Because I'm thinking there are probably at least a few fantasy playoff rosters that have those guys on them.
Yeah, you mean NFC Offensive Player of the Week, George Kittle. I believe that's who you're talking about. But he did have a little scare there on one catch where he got up a little bit stiff-legged, appeared to be limping a little bit off the field, but he didn't exit the game for any lengthy period of time. He was rested resting on Wednesday due to knee soreness, what the team called it. He was back doing limited work on Thursday. So I think the sense is that George Kittle will be ready come game time. Elijah Mitchell is still not practicing, not only the concussion issue, but also a knee issue, working on the side during the open portion of practice on Thursday. So we shall see if he does anything on Friday. But so far, a non-participant this week.
Worth noting for San Francisco, they play next Thursday as well against Tennessee. So they got to be mindful of that short week coming on the heels of this game they play this upcoming Sunday against Atlanta. I think it's pretty clear, though, if Elijah Mitchell's out, it's going to be Jeff Wilson. It's just not going to be as much value because Debo Samuel will probably get his customary, at least these days, 7, 8, 9 rushing attempts as well. So I think we feel like Jeff Wilson has more flex value than like potential RB1 value, which is where Elijah Mitchell has been during his starting weeks, at least recently.
One of the fairly remarkable things, 49ers have not had a player on the reserve COVID-19 list since August.
Wow.
And I think that it really, Kyle Shanahan spoke to this, but remind people that the NFL is not happening in a bubble. It's happening relative to the community, and they're in a community where that exposure appears to be less likely. So there are some teams who have actually done fairly well throughout it. The 49ers is one of them.
All right, time to make a call is brought to you by Captain Morgan. Bench point drinks and subbing the captain on game day. Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Stefania, I want to ask you about Cowboys running backs. We obviously have Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. Obviously, at the beginning of the week, we got some terrible news that Tony Pollard actually suffered a little bit of an injury on an awesome touchdown run last Sunday. What do we know so far about Pollard, and what do we think he's going to do this week?
Well, we know that he is wanting to try to play, and Mike McCarthy said he feels really optimistic about it, but this is a partially torn plantar fascia. This is not an easy injury to navigate. It's clear that he is participating a little bit, so he has to be feeling a little better than he was, but I'm still apprehensive just in terms of performance and functionality, because really, we really won't know until he gets in the game, assuming he does get in the game, how that foot is going to hold up. We talked about Zeke dealing with a PCL sprain, wearing a brace, try it out last week, and I actually thought we'd get a chance to see a Zeke who was feeling better and perform a little bit better, but he's still struggling. And it, in fact, came up looking very uncomfortable a couple of times. So, you know, the Zeke struggles continue, but he's going to continue to play.
Okay. Zeke continuing to play is a good thing. I just think that the inefficiency so far, so recently, has been so discouraging. That being said, I have him as a mid-tier RB2. Matchup is fine against the Giants, especially if there's no Leonard Williams. We'll see whether he's available on Sunday or not. He's got an elbow issue. Let's move from there. Do you want to keep going on these calls, Daniel?
Can I ask you one real quick question?
Please ask me 10.
Earlier in the year, Tony Pollard was basically you could think about having him as a flex play. Right now, the whole point is, even if he's healthy, we're still not sure how good he's going to be. He's not somebody that you can be starting in the playoffs with any kind of confidence.
I think there's a lot of risk baked into this one. You know, obviously the first week of the playoffs, there's no margin for error the rest of the way here. I think I'd probably be fading Tony Pollard this week unless we got some really surprising and encouraging reports between the injury and the mitigated role relative to Zeke's. I think it's probably a better op. There are probably better options on your roster.
Let's go to page 3 and we'll start from
okay,
where we were.
A couple
from there.
More injury updates there, because Stefania, unfortunately for Daniel, a bunch of injury updates for his Detroit Lions, including not just his running backs, but also their star tight end.
Right. And so DeAndre Swift still dealing with the shoulder issue that has kept him out. We talked last week about uncertain whether we'd see him. And then it sounded like the Lions were optimistic that he might be able to return, but yet he has not practiced and still dealing with that sprained AC joint. No participation in practice makes you wonder if he'll be available. Jamal Williams was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list last Friday due to testing positive. So we remain awaiting Jamal Williams' status. And then tight end TJ Hawkinson, who we talked about his left hand being wrapped, but didn't seem like it was an overly big deal. You know, he's been fighting through this for a bit, but he got downgraded late last week, which suddenly gave the indication that something worse might be going on. And then a report from Adam Schefter yesterday that he underwent thumb surgery with Dr. Thomas Graham. He's done for the season, but he should be ready for the off-season program. So no more TJ Hawkinson this year.
Just specific to those COVID players, by the way, Stefania, this is a quote from Tim Twentyman, who covers the team for the Lions website, who said this, 11:05, Dan Campbell says it's highly unlikely some of their COVID players return this week, even with the new protocol. So I guess doesn't specify which players are likely or unlikely, but perhaps another week of no Jamal Williams because of that COVID-19 test from last week.
Sounds like maybe another Craig Reynolds day if you're looking for a running back there. Craig Reynolds, of course, 99 yards last week. Great call by Adam Schefter on Fantasy Football Now, talking about how they like him in Detroit and they expected him to get the majority of work there. So Craig Reynolds is out there in a lot of leagues, by the way, if you're still out there in a bunch of leagues, if you're desperate at running back.
I'm sorry. I was just going to reiterate, related to the COVID, and this is not specific to Jamal Williams. I don't know his vaccination status, but a reminder that all those new protocols, the modifications, only apply to fully vaccinated individuals. So for a player who's unvaccinated, who tests positive, that 10-day window remains in place.
Can I jump to something else?
Sure. I want to ask really quickly.
Yeah, go for
on
it.
Top of Craig Reynolds, Amon-Ra St. Brown has had back-to-back games with 12 targets with no TJ Hockenson. Obviously, that's a dart throw here in the playoffs, but it's somebody that maybe if you need that high upside or you need to take a shot somewhere, he should see a ton of volume.
I'm at wide receiver 31. Field has him at 32, so a high upside wide receiver 4. I would agree with you. I think we project him for about 10 points. Arizona's a good matchup. Yeah. It's a good defense. It's a tough matchup here. But yes, to your point, Daniel, somebody has to catch the ball. Josh Reynolds also dealing with a thigh injury as well. So at some point, just again, volume might be there. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, who to your point has had 12 targets now in consecutive games. He's been a top 30 wide receiver each of the last 2 weeks. So again, I'm at 31. You, I'm at 32. Field, we're right there with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I'm assuming where you want to go next, Matthew, is a star quarterback who looks unlikely to play this weekend.
That's right. We just got reporting Jameson Hensley, who covers the Ravens for us, and does a great job with it. Just tweeting right now. Let me read his tweet exactly so I can quote it. This is Jameson Hensley on Twitter. Lamar Jackson ankle. Didn't practice for a third straight day, putting his availability for Sunday's game against the Packers in serious doubt. Jackson wasn't able to participate Friday when the Ravens held a walkthrough. So no practice at all for Lamar Jackson. We haven't seen him on a football field since he left the game last week with that bad injury to his ankle. Field, what I tweeted out was, you're starting Mark Andrews. But again, that's the only one you feel really great about. I mean, we expect Tyler Huntley to be under center once again for Baltimore in a tough matchup in an important game against Green Bay, a game in which the Ravens are already shorthanded, their whole secondary. I mean,
literally,
right? I mean, is out.
Two top safeties, two top cornerbacks. I mean, right. it's a skeleton crew.
It's,
Baltimore,
it's
right
brutal.
Now.
I would hear. So last week, Marquise Hollywood Brown, five for 41. Had like 8 targets, I think. To me, he's a risky low-end wide receiver too. And Devontae Freeman, more of a high-end flexy, and they may go more run-heavy with Huntley under center than Lamar Jackson. But if you have Lamar Jackson as your starting quarterback, you need another option.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. There are plenty of names we'll discuss further on Fantasy Football Now come Sunday morning. We've got a few more injuries to try to get into here, Stefania, in Philly. I think there is some question marks about Jalen Hurts, about whether he'll play on Sunday, but how about Miles Sanders? Philly, obviously, coming off of their bye. Is he doing okay now, Miles Sanders?
Well, he's still that ankle injury that he aggravated after being placed on IR. Coming back from that, he aggravated his ankle in last week's game, so he did participate on a limited basis. We don't know what exactly that means in terms of how much he was involved, but I imagine that he's still going to play, but he's not 100%.
Okay, we've got him as a mid-tier, sort of like flex play. He's RB25 in the consensus ranks. Matthew and I have him as RB27. Again, a reminder, he has 0 touchdowns this season. You either need big yardage or big passing game.
It's one of those things that something like, the unmovable force versus the
unstoppable object.
Yeah, exactly. Because so Miles Sanders does not have a touchdown this year, to your point. Yeah. But Washington does not have a defensive lineman that's expected to play in this one. Daron Payne is basically the only guy literally on their starting defensive line that is not on the COVID-19 list.
Crazy.
It's guys off the street. It is. Now, there's a chance they could get Montez Sweat back, who's missed the last couple of games with COVID. He may actually clear it because he's an unvaccinated player, but he's He missed the last two games due to being on the COVID-19 list. So he may clear in time. And, you know, again, a number of their players are asymptomatic and vaccinated, so there's a chance they could come back. But at the moment, it looks like Miles Sanders is going to get to run against a fairly threadbare defensive line by the Washington football team. I just want to say that I put Miles Sanders on my hate list. I write the column on Wednesday, and at the time, we expected a lot more of Washington's stout defensive front, which has been one of the best run defenses in the NFL over the last month, to be there. And I mean, it just goes to show you how quickly things change since the time that I wrote it, like Wednesday morning, and now, like, basically half their defense is out. So I am more optimistic about Miles Sanders' success this week, but it has certainly been a struggle for him fantasy wise this entire year. He is merely a flex play until we see it.
I want to ask a real quick question because seeing as how we're sort of jumping around the note right now, there's a player on here that I wanted to talk about.
Hey, please do. Hopefully it's good news.
If you guys don't mind.
What do you got?
Michael Carter, right? Out for a couple of weeks. This is a playoff matchup here. You guys both look to have him sort of as a low-end flex play in RB3. I know playing a guy who has been out, especially first week back, and this is the playoffs, is tough. I'm just curious where you guys are at on Michael Carter this week.
Well, Stefania, let me ask you, where is he at in terms of his practice participation right now?
Well, he is participating. Robert Saleh has already said he expects him to be activated for this game on Sunday. And actually, he said he expects him to have, quote, a significant role. That is what our Rich Shimini is saying. So if you believe the head coach, they plan to involve him heavily in the game. Also, Tevin Coleman expected to come back as well from a concussion.
I think that's probably the rub, though, right? Is it like a significant role, somewhat of a subjective descriptor? And it's also that you could have Tevin Coleman for 8 or 10 carries. You could see some Austin Walter, right? Like, there are a variety of different backs. Ty Johnson could see a couple plays here or there, right? I think, the confidence is certainly greater than any other Jets running back.
Sorry, go ahead.
We're so thin right now with all the injuries and COVID situations that, like, he's a flex consideration for me this week. And what you have to hope for is that the Jets offensive line, which is not dominant, gets overwhelmed by the Miami defensive front, which can be dominant, and that Zach Wilson resorts to dump offs, and more dump offs, which was sort of the way in which Michael Carter became a star for fantasy during that 5-week stretch prior to getting hurt.
Weeks to that, to your point, week 7 through 11, he was running back 10 on a fantasy points per game basis. I'm at 24, you have a 27. So I'm a little bit more bullish on him than you are. But again, we're both in the flex range for this guy that, again, prior to getting injured, was a top 10 running back there for about a month. To your point, a lot of his production came on sort of dump offs, candidly, from Mike White. And we've got Zach Wilson. But think about how this game plays out and think about what Miami likes to do. Miami likes to blitz. And they have really strong corner play, right? So to me, the way the Jets are going to be able to, and by the way, no Elijah Moore for the Jets, no Corey Davis. So they're down a bunch of position players. So as that staff in New York is looking for, all right, we're trying to figure out a way to move the ball, try to get the ball in a playmaker's hands. Michael Carter is one of their big playmakers. I actually think it's a good Jamison Crowder game. Braxton Berrios, for people that are truly, truly desperate or looking for a DFS kind of punt play, is sort of interesting. He had a nice game last week again. The corners for Miami are really strong. The way you attack Miami is with short passes again because they're blitzing a lot and in the slot in the middle of the field. And so Crowder, who had, I think I want to say 16 fantasy points the last time these two teams played, I think he's a top 40 guy in this one. And again, I have Michael Carter as a top 25 running back because I do think he gets a decent amount of passing game involvement given the lack of other viable options on that offense.
Michael Carter, only $4,700 on DraftKings. We talked about that yesterday in CSS DFS. In case you guys want to play some daily fantasy and think about that, one more player I want to hit before we get out of here, Stefania. Josh Allen was dealing with a sprained left foot earlier in this week. Obviously, huge week this week for us, the fantasy playoffs. Is there any way that we should be concerned about Josh Allen, or is he good to go?
Well, it remains to be seen just how well he'll move around. But Sean McDermott saying today that Josh Allen is expected to fully practice today, and the plan is for him to be the starter. Josh Allen himself said his foot was feeling much better as the week went on, but he was limited Wednesday and Thursday. But this good news if the head coach is already announcing that they expect him to start.
Yeah,
Emmanuel Sanders, by the way, will be out this week.
Yeah, big question for you with Josh Allen is simply if he even though he's playing, does he curtail his rushing at all, or does Buffalo curtail the design runs at all? If they do, you know, it might knock his fantasy value down a little bit. I still think, though, given how great he is as a thrower, that there's still legit quarterback, you know, top five quarterback upside, even if he only rushes the ball three times in a game. He's that talented. He's that great.
1,000% totally agree. Gabriel Davis on the week 15 sleeper list. He's gotten, but we've talked about him earlier in the show. I know we made your earlier in the week, I should say. I know we made your waiver wire column as well. But knowing officially Emmanuel Sanders is out for Sunday makes you feel better about Gabriel Davis in this one. Real quickly, I just want to mention something that I've been tracking. Leonard Fournette did return to practice today. He's been dealing with that ankle injury. He missed Wednesday and Thursday. They play the Sunday night game against the Saints. So we'll see. My guess is he gets listed as questionable. Hopefully we get reporting on that. We'll see how he gets through practice. But Ronald Jones would be an interesting flex play if Fournette misses. But if you have Fournette, there's optimism. At least he returned to practice today.
Man, it is such a week. It is crazy. Here's my last piece of advice. Watch Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time on our normal home of ESPN2, I believe, for the full 3 hours, start to finish. There it is. It's confirmed. We're going to have so much more to cover between now and then. There is going to be so much information. Please join us.
Yeah, exactly. Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2 with Field Yates, with Stefania Bell, with myself, with Mike Clay, with Damian Woody, with Dan Graziano, with Diana Russini, Ed Werder, probably Lindsay Theory, like Michelle Steele, Jeff Darlington.
Jeffy.
Who else?
Shefty.
Oh, yeah. Adam Shefty will be there as well. Shefty will be there. Maybe we'll get Thirsty Kyle. We can figure out a way to get Kevin Pulsifer.
We'll get a shout out.
I'm sure Kevin Pulsifer will get a shout out as well.
He's actually on. He's at a
He's away this weekend.
He's got a replacement to get a shout out for sure.
But maybe Damon Dabrowski will fill in for him. I think pretty much everyone that is important to the fantasy coverage here at ESPN in any way, shape, or form are going to be with you Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2 for Fantasy Football Now. We got the whole team. Did I forget anyone? I think I got everyone.
Daniel, we love you. We miss you.
Daniel will be there. Mama Dot Mike making an appearance.
Mama Dop's available. We love She's Mama Dop. Yeah,
I watch every Sunday morning with you guys.
How about Cowboy Ed?
Cowboy Sam.
Can we get Cowboy Sam in there?
You guys are all too much.
One more thing before we close out this week. It's been a really tough week. I just want to say this, and Phil, I know we've talked about this earlier. There have been so many people that have been impacted by the storms out in the Midwest and the South. All the tornadoes. We just want to say, if you would like to help, please visit redcross.org/ESPN, redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond and help people recover from this disaster that the country has had. So much going on this week, guys, in football, in the world, everywhere. I am ready for Sunday because last night, if Sunday is at all a taste of what last night was, I'm just so hopeful for good
Saturday
football,
Looking forward.
Yeah.
Saturday and Sunday.
Don't forget to set your lineups.
That's right. Set your lineups, do yourself a favor and get ahead of the curve if you can. For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel, I am Phil. Thank you for your patience today, everybody. A lot to get to. Hopefully, we got to enough to help you feel ready to set your Week 15 lineup and get a playoff win.
Stay safe out there. We all love you. Peace out.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guide. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay. And you know that it's a fact, every Yater's gonna Yate. 'Cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yates.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.